Hey everybody, Ian here to tell you all about the fine shows you could be listening to from the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Let's start it off with the original Stuff and Things, the podcast about everything and nothing at all, starring myself and my good buddy Chewy, where we talk about our friendship, our past, our future, our history, ghosts, clowns, sharks, dolphins, and Stan Lee. That comes out every single Friday. You can also check out Four Color Commentary, where myself, Chewy, Ryan, and Alan talk about comic books. That's right, kids, comic books. Old, new, comic book movies and news. So many comics you can't even handle it all. That comes out every new comic book day, which is Wednesdays for those of you in the know. If you're an old or new comic books fan, this is the podcast for you. And every Saturday, Ryan and I team up for an action-packed blockbuster with Super Action Bros, where we watch movies with explosions and car chases. Strap in, everybody, and get your popcorn ready, because Super Action Bros is coming your way. And finally, the dark and spooky side of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. That's right, boys and girls, get ready for some scares. It's Eyes in the Dark with Chewy, Evan, and James as they watch classic horror movies and some of those that were made just as a quick cash grab. Well, everybody, that's all the shows of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. Odds are you're listening to one right now or I wouldn't even be here. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to subscribe to us and sit back, relax, and enjoy another fine Stuff and Things Network podcast.
Most men are fighting for a wagon full of gold. Scratching and biting for a wagon full of gold. My piece of land, my cattle grand, a place to rest my head. The feeling of a woman's love are all you really need for living.
You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast talking about movies with explosions and car chases.
And Ryan,
yeah,
what's that? Look at those horses. What are they dragging?
I believe it is a war wagon.
Everybody's got their own war wagon.
Does everybody?
That's what, according to the song that opens this film,
with
which
a Gatling gun.
Which I'm pretty sure for the next, for the past like 4 days, I've been singing it in my head.
Dude, it's the best theme song to a movie we've watched this year.
It's so good.
I mean, it doesn't even have Pitbull in it at all. Dun,
dun. And it's the Meow Mix theme song.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, oh, they ripped it off. I see. Anyway, hello,
what if,
everybody.
What if it did have Pitbull in it, though?
Oh, man. They do like a, oh, my God. Do you think they'll remake the War Wagon?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, my God. They already did, didn't they?
Welcome to Super Action Bros. I'm Ryan.
Hello, and I'm Ian. Welcome to the fourth week of,
the five-week month.
This is the last episode before, well, actually, it is post-Christmas. So, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And beginning of Hanukkah to you. I'm not sure when Kwanzaa starts. I'm sorry.
No, actually, Kwanzaa starts after Christmas. Hanukkah's already happened.
No, Hanukkah starts like the day after Christmas.
No, buddy. Like, the menorahs are mostly lit.
Are you sure?
Pretty confident.
I feel like it was the opposite. And Chewy and I were like, oh, that's crazy. They're just going to rub it in our faces. How like, oh, your day is done. I'm oh, dang it.
I will look up theologically appropriate information while you do the business.
So this is the fourth week of White Elephant Gift Month for Super Action Bros, in which our friends and family decide to make us watch movies that they want us to watch. And so this is Ryan's second week on the show. His father decided we should watch a movie called The War Wagon, which is a John Wayne movie, another John Wayne movie this year. And I'm shocked we didn't watch this one earlier for many reasons.
Well, I am, and I'm not shocked.
This is the closest thing to an action movie we've seen with John Wayne.
It's true. It is. is very true.
So before we get into the War Wagon, though, there's a couple things we want you to do. Number one, visit our website. You can do that by going to stuffandthingsnetwork.com, clicking on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you'll be taken to a page all about our show where you can listen to it right there on the website. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also reach out to us via our social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Letterboxd, where you can sign up for a free account there. It's a movie review social media site. We keep preaching Letterboxd, and I feel like no one has done anything about it.
I use it. I recently, on my personal Letterboxd account, wrote a review of the 2000 Jim Carrey Grinch movie directed by Ron Howard.
Oh, was it a glowing review?
No. That movie is bad.
Yes, all the live action ones are bad, and a couple of the CG ones are pretty bad. One of them is
The Grinch in CG, the same Illumination Entertainment, remaking The Grinch in CG, voiced by, ready for this?
I heard about this.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep. So you can go and sign up for a free account at letterboxd.com. You can also reach out to us individually on Twitter by clicking on our photos in the bottom. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach out to me, Ian, at irich. That's at @IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter. Also, Ryan Roop, RYANRUPPE.
You can also email us. There's a big contact us button on the front page. Click on that and fill out the form. Send us a email with some movie recommendations.
Or an email.
And, yeah. Anyone. Either one.
Either of those.
I'm not
male. Some would say.
Animale. That sounds like an animal that's a guy. Animale. That sounds like a furry thing. Let's move past it. And so all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, the War Wagon.
I looked up Hanukkah, by the way.
Okay.
Because I was super curious.
And?
Hanukkah is based on the Jewish calendar, which is a lunar calendar. So it changes. Yes. So last year, 2015, it started on December 6th. Before Christmas. Uh-huh. This year, 2016, it starts on Christmas Eve.
See?
So we were both right. Kwanzaa, however, starts on the 26th.
Okay.
Every year.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the War Wagon.
I was curious.
I know. We're trying to be really culturally inclusive because this movie is not.
This movie is. So this movie is made in 1967.
By John Wayne.
It's a big deal. It's John Wayne and Kirk Douglas. They are two pretty large stars, both of whom were, at this point, past their prime.
Yeah,
Kirk Douglas was 49 when this movie was made.
Yeah, you could
John
tell.
Wayne was a bit older. John Wayne was already down to one lung.
Kirk
at this
Douglas
point.
Is
down to one lung
because John Wayne didn't take care of himself. No. Kirk Douglas, on the other hand, he's recently 100. Turned 100 years old.
Unbelievable!
I am convinced that Kirk Douglas will die at some point, but I'm going to say never die because he's still living. I mean, he did this. He did 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's got a whale of a tale to tell you, Lance.
I really do like that movie.
I do too.
So this movie was made in 1967. It's written by Claire Huffaker. Claire mm-hmm. is a dude who was a novel writer who wrote cowboy stories.
Uh-huh.
And so this is based on a book. The book is called Bad Man. No joke. And so they
it's one letter off from a very popular comic book character.
But they adapted it, or he adapted his book to this movie.
I see.
Yeah. The director of this movie
is
a man named Burt Kennedy.
Okay.
Who directed a lot of other sort of classic westerns. A lot of western sequels like The Magnificent Seven Rides Again.
Okay.
The Return of the Magnificent Seven. Also directed The Money Trap, which is sort of a classic.
Quite a few John Wayne ones from what I can see.
Quite a few John Wayne ones. And also Suburban Commando. That's right. The 1991 movie starring Hulk Hogan as an alien and Christopher Lloyd as a man who at one point shouts, "I was frozen today."
I told you my love of that phrase. Right?
I do.
I also enjoy in that movie. I watched that review of that dude. He did it. This kid's playing a video game, and Hulk Hogan goes up, and he's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, it's this alien Dravos. So give it up, Dravos. It's playing it. It's Afterburner. It's a jet. There's no space. It's Afterburner."
One day we're gonna watch that movie on this.
No.
Show. Yeah, we will.
I was frozen today, Ryan. We're never watching that.
I was frozen today. So
just
anyway,
next time at work, Ryan, somebody gets sassy, just throw it out there. It'll work.
Besides the big men themselves, the Duke and Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
Other men in this cast, other people in this cast.
All men.
There are some women.
It's mostly men. Yeah. In this
Howard Keel.
Okay.
Who was a white guy who was playing an Indian.
Yes.
Playing a Native American.
Yes.
Howard Keel was famous for Dallas. He was on the show Dallas.
Ah, okay.
For a long time. Robert Walker Jr. plays Billy Hyatt.
He was also in an Easy Rider. That's his other claim to fame.
And then a lot of these other guys, Keenan Wynn was the old man with the beard, the crazy old man. Uh-huh. Actually younger than John Wayne by several years. Wow. He is in Dr. Strangelove, for instance.
Okay.
He also does a voice in the TV movie he's been in a Santa lot of, Claus is coming to
he's
town.
Been in a lot of Twilight Zone episodes, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I also recognize that face.
He also is the voice of Winter from the Rankin-Bass Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, okay.
Which is the history of Santa.
Okay.
Bruce Cabot.
Oh, he was in Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
We saw that movie on this podcast.
Bruce Cabot is in the original 1933 King Kong. He plays the old man who owns the mine.
He's in Diamonds Are Forever.
Yep.
Quite a few things.
Bruce Dern is also in this movie.
Yeah, I noticed that. Bruce Dern is in this movie.
He's still making movies. For instance, the last two Westerns directed by Quentin Tarantino. He's in those. Is he Laura Dern's dad?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I mean, makes sense.
Yes. Laura Dern's mom is... Oh my gosh, who's Laura Dern's mom?
I don't know.
I'm going to find that out. Keep talking about
Perfect.
The cast.
It's
somebody well known.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that guy actors... For who, like, if you've watched a lot of 50s and 60s World War II and cowboy movies, you've seen every single person in this cast.
Okay. That's why I remember it. So, Bruce Dern and Diane Ladd is her mom.
Okay.
And the movie, what's it called? Is it it's a biker movie. It's with Peter Fonda, but it's not Easy Rider. Okay. Apparently, she was conceived on the set of that movie.
Wonderful. the sheriff, Terry Wilson, also played the sheriff in Westworld.
Ah, oh man.
But not the new show.
If you guys haven't watched that show, do it. If you have HBO, do it. If not, pay the $5 for the month.
I have not watched that
show. It's worth it. It's really good.
That's what I hear.
I would highly recommend it. Speaking of sci-fi, really quickly, sure. Ryan and I both saw Rogue One. Would you tell people to go see it?
I would tell people to go see it.
That's all we'll say. It's a
Star Wars.
We want to make Star Wars movie. I enjoyed it. I would say go see it.
It has, you know,
if you trust our reviews and you haven't seen it already, go see it. Yeah, most people who probably listen to the podcast
like
have seen it.
If you like a Star Wars, you'll like this one.
Yeah. If you like, it might be, I'll say this. If you have kids, it might be a little slow for kids. A buddy of mine took his, our buddy Steve took his daughter and she fell asleep halfway through.
Sure. She's in kindergarten.
Yeah. I mean,
an idea.
It's not
I think my 8-year-old daughter would really like it.
Yeah.
I think my 5-year-old son would because of explosions.
He would like the last third of the movie. Yeah. That's really
anyway, Star Wars.
But I highly recommend it. Go check it out. It's a holiday season. You made a joke about Neil Cicerega saying there's no Hobbit movie this year. It's because Star Wars has replaced Star Wars, it for every holiday for going forward forever.
So this movie's 49 years old.
Yes, it is.
This was recommended by my dad.
Yeah, it was. So why did your dad recommend this movie? I saw he gave you some reasons. What was his reason?
His reasoning for recommending this movie is that it is... I think to a certain extent, having seen it now, it's kind of self-explanatory why I recommended it.
Okay.
But his reason for recommending it was it has a... armored stagecoach with a Gatling gun and a turret.
And that actually is a thing that happens in this movie.
Which it definitely does.
It does.
And I mean, not other movies do.
No. In fact, to me, that's what I was thinking about this. I'm like, this is like the exploitation version of a Western movie in the sense that it's just like, let's put something insane in it.
Well,
like,
yeah, I mean, it's...
Like how later in Kung Fu movies, one of my favorite Kung Fu movies, which we still have not watched on this,
mm-hmm.
Master of the Flying Guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that movie?
Yeah.
It has like a... It's like that little thing that's like a weapon that's just weird enough that it like, you can drive a whole plot around it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the war wagon is.
It's not anachronistic. They did have Gatling guns in Civil War.
But like, this would be something you'd see now in like in Westworld, they have Gatling guns.
Of course they do.
Well, it's all Western themed anyway. Yeah. So I know it's future, but anyway, but they have a Gatling gun just like this. And I was thinking, oh, this isn't a thing accurate to the time. So but it's not something you normally see. Like we watched a far quote unquote better, when depending on your view of it, Western movie, The Searchers.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Gatling gun wagons in that.
There weren't any.
This is more fun.
Like, this is fun. Less of a grim and more of a, I guess, lighthearted.
Yeah, it's very much a lighthearted. Like, I was like really worried it was going to be another heavy John Wayne movie that we watched a lot of this year. But I was like, oh, this is one of the fun John Wayne movies. Yeah. This is the one that, like, this is the type that when I think of John Wayne movies, like, this is the fun, yeah, goofy, wacky stuff.
This is the kind of thing everybody thinks
about. Yeah, the wacky ones. Not that we watch, like, the classics.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, a little cheesy and kind of convoluted.
A little. Oh, man. Because all cowboys wear pink shirts, right? A salmon colored shirt and a bright mustard yellow.
Hey, you know,
top, where his muscles are basically bursting out of it.
Oh, my favorite is
the cowboys dress.
My favorite is Kirk Douglas's leather button up shirt.
Yes,
that just fits. Just fits. It's just a leather shirt. You know, like you wear.
You know, like you wear.
And his one black glove with the huge ring on it.
God. Yeah,
he carefully takes off every time he gets off his horse.
No, he sleeps with it.
No, but don't you? But if you notice, in every scene, he takes it off with the ring.
Yeah.
Folds it carefully and puts it in his vest pocket.
Like there's some backstory about it that we need. That's so important that we never find out. We never learn,
which is kind of neat, I guess.
that's the kind of stuff Ryan loves. Like, I wonder why he does that.
Yeah.
I tell you about the Ferris Bueller thing about how why Cameron wears the
Detroit jersey.
Yeah. Why? Because his grandfather, like John Hughes told him, he's like, so why am I where's Chicago? Why am I wearing a Detroit Red Wings jersey? He's like, oh, your grandfather's from Detroit and he takes you to hockey games and that's why you wear it so much, is because those memories you hold so fondly, because your dad is the kind of guy, your dad is the kind of guy who would go through the house and make sure all the screws and the door hinges are straight. He's like, that's the kind of guy your dad is, and that you are not that guy, and that's why you wear that costume. It's like, that's not in the script. John Hughes wrote a whole backstory for Cameron never knew about.
That's kind of a John Hughes thing to do.
So I wonder if Kirk Douglas in his head was like, this guy really likes this ring.
But also, I mean, the movie's based on a book, so...
Maybe in the book there's some explanation for it.
In books, obviously, you can have a lot more detail than you would have in movies. Yeah, it's weird.
It's almost like they should make them longer and put them into multiple episodes on HBO.
No,
only $5 a month. You can watch all of Westworld.
That's not even based on a book. The movie was directed by Michael Crichton, who wrote the movie.
Yeah.
He didn't even just do Jurassic Park and then make a movie. Or The Lost World.
Anyway.
He kills Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park, and then in The Lost World he's like, oh yeah, he turned out he didn't die.
It's
never stopped bothering me.
You don't like Michael Crichton, do you?
No.
Anyway.
I am not one to speak ill of the dead, so I will stop talking about it.
Anyway, so...
So this movie, The War Wagon.
Yes.
we keep getting up to... Let's talk about the themes of MacGuffin. The MacGuffin, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term. It is the thing everybody's trying to get. This movie, it could not be more obvious.
Yeah. I wonder what it could be in this movie.
It is the gold.
Is it?
Inside of... The war wagon.
Inside the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
The gold inside
the MacGuffin. Yeah.
The MacGuffin's the war wagon. The war wagon drives the whole movie.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, it drives for quite a bit of the movie. We see it multiple. Here's the thing. For a movie.
Joke.
Well, actually, it's not driven. It's being dragged, apparently, according to the theme song.
Well, I mean, it depends on your definition of being.
This movie starts off with an awesome theme. Can we just get that out of the way?
Yeah, talk about this.
I was watching this. I was like, all right, war wagon. Okay, here we go. And then it just starts with. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, what the heck is this? And then this theme song, and it's a very 1966 like the lyrics are what make me laugh. It's
the lyrics like look explain at those, the plot of the movie,
and it's the war wagon coming around the curve.
Yeah,
and it goes and the title and the song goes, look at those horses, what are they dragging?
Yep,
and then they rhyme dragon with wagon. And I'm just like. Do we accidentally put in paint your wagon? Is that what we're watching? Like, why is there singing? Why is there a song? And it's about it. And now I understand that Blazing Saddles like opening song.
Oh, yeah.
So much better now. I'm like, now I understand why that song exists in there.
I really want that song every movie.
Did that song win an Academy Award? The Blazing Saddles theme? I think it did. You don't have to worry about it.
I really want every movie that to start with a song
that explains
that details the movie
Star Wars Rogue One
and like the chorus of the song is the title of the movie.
Yes.
That's
but it also explains the undertones that everybody has something that's theirs. Everyone has a wagon they're chasing.
Yeah. AKA MacGuffin.
Speaking of themes, let's talk about everyone's wagon they're chasing.
So it's well, I mean, I don't know. So what do you think Kirk Douglas's war wagon is? He's sort of an interesting character. His character sort of exists to do the things that need to be done.
Yeah, but he's also like, you're not sure what side he's on for a majority of the movie, because like at one point he's like, yeah, I'll kill John Wayne. He's like, no, I won't kill John Wayne. Yeah, I'll kill John Wayne again.
All right, can I tell you something, Ian?
Yes.
That I've been thinking about since I saw this movie.
You've been thinking about this movie since you've seen it? I was like, oh, that was fun.
Well, let's see if I can hint it. I would say that Kirk Douglas is The Rock to John Wayne's Vin Diesel. And that this movie is Fast Five.
Oh, okay.
This is the exact plot of Fast Five.
Old West, yeah.
Fast Five is the plot of War Wagon. Because what do they do in that movie? Yeah. They steal a giant box full of money.
That's absolutely true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's what I liked about this. It was a heist movie in the Old West. I haven't seen very many of those.
And they definitely have all the heist cliches, the putting the team together.
Yep.
They have the various conflicts between the team.
Yep.
They have the tense early heist that they have to do to get something so that the heist can go off. The only thing that they don't do that a standard heist movie does is that at no point does the person from whom they are stealing realize that he has been stolen from and is powerless to do anything about it.
No.
Instead, he dies.
Yeah, they kill him because
he's shot by one of his own men.
Yep.
And then his war wagon crashes and his body is crushed by a safe.
Crushed by his own greed.
Yep.
And then they pull the gold dust out of the safe, put it in barrels, of flour
and then accidentally dump it in front of all the Native Americans. Except for the few parts of gold that were stolen, double stolen.
Yeah, the movie just kind of, by the way, we'll get to the ending. The movie just kind of ends.
Yeah.
After that happens. Anyway, okay. But yeah, it's like, it's a heist movie.
No, it is Fast Five.
Yeah, it is. Specifically, it's Fast Five.
If you've seen Fast and the Furious, and if you've seen the fifth one, Fast Five, this is the John Wayne Western version of that movie. but like, even like specifically down to the fact that in that movie, The Rock is a cop who wants to take Vin Diesel in, but they have to ally themselves against a common enemy in that scenario. And also The Rock stands to make a substantial amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and just like in this movie where Pierce is trying to pay Kirk Douglas to kill John Wayne, and John Wayne's like, I'll give you more money if you help me.
Yeah.
And so there's this uneasy alliance the entire time, just like Fast Five. Like, it makes me now want to watch the Western that Fast Six and Fast Seven.
Well, and also, I do feel a little bit for Kirk Douglas.
Furious Seven.
I do feel a little bit for Kirk Douglas because, like, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you all this money. Let's go collect my team. It's a Native American guy being shot at for cheating at cards and a drunk kid who's good with explosives, but he's a drinker.
Yeah.
And he's like, where do you find these people?
Yep. Well, that's classic heist movie.
And also, Kirk Douglas in this movie is very, like, particular. He's like, I do this. I work $100 a day.
He is.
If I fire my gun even once, $500.
Kirk Douglas in this movie is like a fancy lad who's also a hired gun.
Fancy lad.
He is the exact embodiment of DC Comics character Batlash.
That reminds me.
Wait. Do you know what I'm talking about right now?
I don't know who Batlash is.
Okay, so in the...
I guess I'll look him up right
now.
So
DC Comics has a whole Wild West situation. Like, they have a whole universe of Wild West characters. You usually only hear about Jonah Hex, the unstoppable killing machine with no remorse. But there are several other... There are probably half a dozen characters, DC characters, that are Wild West characters.
Oh,
they sort of inherited from other ones. And Batlash is a gambler.
Yeah.
An unstoppable killing machine. Like, he does not miss.
Yeah.
But he is also a dandy.
Yeah.
He is exactly Kirk Douglas in this movie.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, he is. You're not wrong.
And you
know a lot about Westerns.
I do. The only thing is that in the comics, it's actually slightly less explicit how much of a womanizer he is. Whereas in this movie,
oh boy,
Kirk Douglas is not only a womanizer, but...
A racist?
Yeah, but the thing is, this whole movie is exceptionally racist.
Is he racist? No, I'd say he's racist.
No.
Because he relies a lot on stereotypes.
But to a certain extent, the whole movie is racist because
anytime
there is a chance for the movie to be racist or not, it says... Let's go over the top with the racism.
Yeah, the
and the same thing with sexism. Anytime that there's a woman, what does she exist for? One thing. Except for the one woman who's married to the guy, but turns out she wasn't married. She was actually purchased. She is a slave.
Yeah. Yes.
And at the end of the movie, that guy dies, and her ownership is transferred to the other guy.
Yeah, but she wants to kind of be with that guy though.
Sure, but it still feels it's still killed that guy and now I get her.
It's still crappy. Yeah, it's definitely the movie.
She has no agency of her own.
Right.
She's like, well, I'd be working there or working here.
Speaking of agency. I was sold agency. For
$80, $80 and a horse. That is
a pretty good price for a pretty woman like
that. That is messed up.
That is messed up. Nowadays, it's messed up. Like, absolutely. There's no excuse for that
It
nowadays.
Was still racist then.
It still was. It still was. And I'm not easily offended by things.
This is post Martin Luther King.
No, it is. But do you think John Wayne gave a crap?
No, actually.
And this guy and the director were buds. So do you think either of them gave a crap?
I heard a story about this movie that one day, Kirk Douglas was late to set because he was recording an endorsement for the Democrat running for governor. And so the next day, John Wayne went and recorded an endorsement for the Republican running for governor of California at the time, Ronald Reagan.
Oh, actor's actor.
Yeah. But
bedtime for Bonzo actor.
He had
actor.
Not publicly recorded an endorsement for him until Kirk Douglas.
I'll show that kid. I'll show that leather shirt wearing fellow what's for.
They are both... Like, they were both very politically opposed.
Yes.
Which is interesting that they were in this movie together.
This
was definitely a cash grab for both of
them. My favorite, by the way, line of that's awful and out of context is terrible is when Kirk Douglas punches the young kid and he's like, oh, you should see what he was doing to this lady. He wasn't doing anything, just being drunk and blabbing away their plan. But she's like, what do you mean? What did he do? And he goes, honey, you've been working the saloons for too long. I was like, oh my God, did he just say... Sorry, cover the kid's ears. Did he just say you've been a hooker for too long
and have
not been paying attention to how awful men are?
Yeah.
Like, maybe sometimes the second part is true, but that first part is like, you need to get a new job. The thing that you do is you're too, there's no way to say it
without calling her a mean name.
Yes, you're too much of a this. Oh my God. I was
you harlot.
For some reason, that was the thing. That was the one that for me that I was like,
Really? That was the one?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Not the, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Neither of them speak English.
Yeah, that was bad. I was like, okay.
Not the, oh, I'll be back to pay for more after he drops the money down the lady's shirt.
Again, there's a lot of parts where I'm like, the first one, I was like, okay. It's 1967, and these are old-timey kind
of
guys.
He does eat with chopsticks. It's not a lot of movies where Kirk Douglas eats with chopsticks.
Yeah, see, that was the balance. I was like, oh, well, at least he does know their culture. He's eating
He's wearing that black kimono.
I just kept watching. I was like, I need to go get some Panda. That fried rice looks real good.
Don't go to Panda. Come on, man.
I know, but I don't have money.
Go to literally anywhere else.
I don't have money for real Chinese food, Ryan.
No, but I mean,
I'm not Kirk Douglas. I'm not shooting John Wayne for $12,000.
That's a lot of money even now. There are other cheap Chinese food restaurants that are better.
Oh, okay, you're right. I'll go to Panda Express. I won't go to Panda Express. I'll go to Pick Up Sticks.
Get that candy meat.
Yep, sugar meats. Sugared meats.
I haven't had it in a long time.
No, don't. Okay.
I'm craving it.
Anybody who's not in California is like, what the heck is pickup sticks? I don't think they're
just imagine if white. Panda Express like added used more sugar.
Okay. So what else though happens? So there's not like really, a lot of action sequences in this movie.
We get a bar fight. And John Wayne is on record as saying he thinks this is his 500th cinematic bar fight.
I mean, we get the fire, the explosion, or the fire where they light all the.
Oh yeah, they throw all the it's the lantern fuel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course the end chase it with the war wagon.
Yeah,
where the Gatling gun comes into play and murders a lot of Native Americans.
Yeah, that part's messed up.
I love that part right before it though, where they're like John Wayne and Kirk Douglas are up on top of this hill and they're like looking at all the stuff around. I'm like, oh man, that's back in the day where like now it's if it was like look. That guy's driving over and like there's guys who are like maybe, I don't know, half a mile away from him.
Yeah.
Like now you can be like, oh, I hear the car coming. Back then it was like, maybe you'll hear the clip clopping of horses, but otherwise you could sneak up on someone pretty easy.
Yeah, it's true.
It was pretty interesting.
I mean, you can still walk.
Yeah, but
that hasn't changed.
But horses are faster than walking.
But bicycles are faster than walking.
Yeah, also. But nobody's riding a bicycle. You know who's riding a bicycle? Dandy's riding a bicycle through the Wild West town with his curly mustache going to the ice cream parlor. Sing some barbershop.
I want some ice cream. I think that's a different era.
Yeah, it is. But he was the first. He was the trendsetter. He was the first of his
with
kind.
With the leather shirt?
No.
And the steam power?
No. He's like the guy from The Searchers where he's like, well, sir, I play guitar and I'm going to fight you with my gloves on.
Except that guy is crappy in this, and Kirk Douglas could kill you.
That's true.
Because he and John Wayne totally kill those dudes.
They do.
Towards the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't even lie to their boss when he says, the last time I saw him, they were on the street.
Dead.
No, he murdered didn't say them. Dead.
Yeah, but he knew. He knew it. They knew it. Oh, man. This movie is, oh, boy. It definitely is dated in a lot of its awfulness.
It does have a huge explosion,
but
that has like a precarious setup and kind of a clever, you know, where they have gin bottles full of nitroglycerin. Kind of
that the drunk guy is handling.
Well, he's not drunk at the time. No. And then they're connected to twine.
So
when horses run through the twine, it pulls them and they fall loose, slam against the crossbeam, and nitroglycerin explodes. And that was a good bit.
Yes,
I liked that whole bit.
Oh, I did too. That was great.
I actually love Westerns with nitroglycerin in it because it's teaching, it's treated like this sort of magic. Like
magic
Satan.
Explosion
like
elixir.
This magic demon elixir.
Like that nothing. And that, like, can you imagine what
it's like treated like a, like some sort of wizard
can
thing.
You imagine what cowboys would think if they saw C4? Like, they'd be like, oh my god. Like,
they got this gum, it just blows stuff up
like the chewing kind. Yeah. But you don't want to chew this.
I feel like if there was a cowboy movie with C4, they'd figure out some way to put it on the bottom of some cowboy's shoes, and then he'd walk on something that had like electrical probes.
Totally.
And then he'd just like explode straight up in the air.
That's exactly what
happened. And you just end up with a pair of boots that are smoking on the ground.
Oh my god.
Hollywood, hire me.
That would be incredible.
I'd watch it.
Okay. I don't know if there's much else to say.
No,
like the movie, it's let's put it this way. If you can look past okay, this is going to sound awful, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you can look past and maybe chuckle at the horribleness of the parts of this movie that we're talking about, because you're like, this is awful and there's no excuse for it.
I mean,
so I'm going to laugh.
There's only one scene with Chinese people in it, and it's two women who are basically prostitutes, but don't speak English.
To be fair,
only one scene where there's Mexicans in it, and they're treated as both idiots and a prostitute. Like it goes out of its way. We're diverse in our hate.
To be fair, I went to Knott's Berry Farm a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And I went on the mine train ride.
Oh, did you?
There are definitely still some Asian workers in there.
Well, I mean, like
that are very stereotypical of the time. Okay. I mean, it's accurate for the time, but it's also stereotypical.
A thing that happened.
Yeah.
A lot of the West was settled by Chinese immigrants.
And I'm sure a lot of the things that were said in this movie probably also happened in one way or other at this point.
But
that doesn't mean that we should glorify
it. It's not the only representation.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, besides that,
it's entertaining. You know what? It's fluff. It's like fun fluff. It's not. Like, honestly, you can half pay attention to this movie and still understand the entire plot.
It is the epitome of a B movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's nothing life changing. None of the characters have any dynamism at all. Nobody changes at all. There's no, the only thing that happens that has changed at the end is that now John Wayne has killed the man who has his house.
And now he has his house back and some gold.
And some money.
Yeah. He got revenge. Revenge is one of the themes in this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But not even like it's like.
Well, and even Kirk Douglas and John Wayne is intimated that they don't like each other either, but for some other reason.
But, I mean, it's not even revenge is best served cold.
No, it's just like
it's just
get
like,
revenge.
It's just like this is the thing to be done.
Yeah.
Let's do after a man puts you in jail and steals your house is go make sure that he gets murdered.
Yep.
And then steal his money.
Sounds about right.
That's the law of the West.
Yes, it is. The law of the West.
And don't forget to check in with the sheriff because you're on parole. Sheriff, I'm here.
So,
Ryan,
what do you rate this movie out of 10? That's your final thought. There's nothing else to say.
Like it's a pretty serviceable movie.
Why is My Dad's Movie the worst one so far this month?
Is it?
I don't know. Dante's Peak is pretty bad.
This one's just sort of they're all bad. They've all been bad.
Well, it's not Speed.
Okay, so except for Speed.
And the opening,
the only one who isn't related to us has picked a good movie.
And the opening,
what does that say about our heritage?
Well,
the opening
15 minutes of Cliffhanger was good, so my dad has kind of some fun taste.
This movie has a wagon that blows up.
Yeah, a war wagon.
And the song.
War Wagon is my new favorite like song as well as phrase. I should like change that. I should get a custom license plate for my car that says War Wagon. WARWAGN. War Wagon. If you, oh my God, Ryan, you,
oh
are,
man, I want
Ryan,
that so bad.
You have a van. You have a van. Change the license plate to War Wagon.
I'd have to have the van would have to be that like weird green color that the War Wagon is.
And you have to have the gold trim.
Oh man, and a Gatling gun on
oh
top.
Oh my God. Well,
I
yeah,
think that would be. A
I
little
think.
Bit,
I don't think
that would be a little bit too.
I know who would be in support of the Gatling gun on the top of your car. If you were to look at your son and say, "Hey son, what if we put a Gatling gun on the top of our car?"
I remember when I was a kid.
You're like, what?
And we had very relatively regular family vacations in Navarre Beach in Pensacola, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And all the family would converge from around the country, both sometimes my dad's side and my mom's side. There's a lot of people. But I remember one time my uncle was there, and they had a Suburban back when not having a Suburban was not like a super common thing.
Yeah.
And he was in, like, I was, I don't know, probably like eight or something like that, around that age.
Okay.
And he was talking to me, oh, you know what I was thinking of doing is putting a gun on top of this, like Mad Max. And I was kind of like, oh, like, okay.
That sounds like
because I hadn't seen Mad Max, and I wasn't aware of it. And I was like, but would you just kill people? Like, I was really confused. Like, that sounds terrible.
We should tell an adult.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, this is an adult.
Uh-oh.
I think I remember telling my dad, like, Dad, I'm worried about Uncle Richard. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because he wants to put a gun on top of his car. And my dad is like Mad Max? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, no. He knows. They're all insane.
What is this Mad Max? And my dad, of course, changed the subject. Because I was a very sheltered child. I didn't see Goonies till college.
Wow.
So
I'm aware.
Of course, I didn't see Mad Max also until college. I plan on showing my children a Mad Max movie before college.
Maybe when they're late teens.
Yeah. We're watching Fury Road.
I enjoy. You know what? One actually isn't bad. That it would is kind of okay. Kind of kid friendly. I don't know.
Fury Road. Except for the nudity.
No. Not no. The one that I remember not being as bad was Thunderdome.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Thunderdome's
yeah.
kind of goofy.
Yeah, I think it's purposely a PG-13.
Yeah, it's fun
for the money.
It's fun.
Yeah,
I remember that was the first Mad Max movie I ever saw.
I don't know that I've seen that one all the way through. I've seen goofy. Bits. And pieces.
We should watch it for this.
It's
movie.
Got Tina Turner in it.
Yeah, I own all the Mad
for
Max
this podcast.
Movies.
You mean
I got really into it when Fury Road came out. I'm like, I have to have all the Mad Max movies. So they're all like $10 each. I'm like, yep, buying them all.
Wow.
So Ryan, what's your rating of The War Wagon?
It's not great.
It's a movie.
It's a movie that you could forget.
Yeah.
But yes. Except for
that song,
Fast Five.
Oh, okay. And that song.
It like.
Yeah, but Fast Five doesn't have that song.
No, it doesn't.
So I might say that this is a better version of Fast Five.
But what if we had a remix of that song with Pitbull?
Oh, man. The War Wagon. Pitbull, call us. We're down. Let's do
Come
it.
Come on, man.
Let's sample War Wagon.
I'm
sure the rights are real cheap. It's not even available on iTunes to buy.
I
was just
going
to gift it to you for fun just so you had it. But I couldn't find it. And it wasn't on Apple
find
Music.
Other,
they had
other
the covers of it, but not the original one.
That the plots are loosely based on cowboy movies from the 60s.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure there are some.
I mean, obviously not like the Magnificent Seven.
No, no, no. That's too obvious.
Yeah.
Although Furious Seven is kind of, it's not at all based on Magnificent Seven.
No.
But it has the same, it has a name that is reminiscent. And then the IMDb trivia that says they chose the name because it's reminiscent. I'm like, but they don't protect a village from, like they're getting revenge in that movie the whole time. Furious 8 looks awesome, by the way.
Fate of the Furious.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
F8.
Fate. I can't wait for that movie.
Oh, man.
Jason Statham gets to Statham it up.
I told Ryan when it comes
Speaking
out.
Speaking of Mad Max, Charlize Theron is in it.
I told
Charlize
Ryan.
Charlize Theron? I don't know how to say her
Charlize
last name.
I think it's Charlize. I always say Charlize Theron, but it might be Charlize Theron.
Furiosa.
Yeah.
So say her name.
I told Ryan when I saw the trailer, by the way, that I was like, Ryan, I'm taking you on a mandate to go see this.
Absolutely.
And Matt's going to come too.
Of course.
So
as long
anyway.
As I can have a Coke Slurpee and popcorn.
Of course you can. So what's your rating? Number? Give me a number.
Oh,
how
man.
Many War Wagons out of 10 do you rate this movie?
Oh, man. It's tough because, like, do you judge it based on action? Do you judge it based on plot? Do you judge it based on horrible racism and sexism?
All of the above.
All of the above. Does it balance out? Do I do like a math? It's like, well, it gets a negative 10 here, but it has like a plus 7, but this part is kind of dumb, so minus 2. Using that math, it would still be a negative 5. So that doesn't really help us. I guess I want to give it 5.
5?
Yeah, because right. it's like it's not good enough to go out of your way to watch.
No.
But if you were,
but if it's on,
like if you were,
you're bored.
If you're visiting family, and so you don't have access to your normal Netflix and Hulu, etc., and you're just channel surfing on the 12 channels that they have with basic cable, and the War Wagon is on, which it probably won't be. But
if it was,
if
you see Turner Classic Movies, by the way, I found out Turner Classic Movies, apparently like you can stream a bunch of old movies for free.
That sounds really dangerous.
For free on your phone for free.
I don't like watching movies on my phone.
But you can like then, I don't know if they have an app for the Apple TV, but you could also AirPlay it.
That would work. But anyway, like if it was on, I would watch it, but I don't think I would go out of my way to recommend it to anybody.
I would give it a 5 as well.
If you really like Fast Five, like if it's one of your favorite movies of all time, you should watch it because then you can. It's like the Old West alternative universe version.
So what 5 what's, Ryan?
5
War Wagons are not available. Other than War Wagons.
5 large ostentatious rings that stay on the black glove that he wears only on one hand.
Okay. I would give it 5 as well, but
and we haven't even mentioned Kirk Douglas's character's name is Lomax.
Yep.
He doesn't have any first name or last name. It's just Lomax.
Oh boy. I would give it 5 as well, but
he's also a safe cracker?
Yes. But
yeah.
But it gets one more point. You know why?
Why?
That theme song. So I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna go back to my old standby.
Oh,
I'm gonna give it to 6 teams of horses and what they're dragging.
Here comes.
Because that lyric is so good. It's so like it's so written like.
Look at,
it's like a bad. You know what it is? It's like a bad Western Sherman Brothers song. Yeah, that's why really I love it so much. It's like they hired the Sherman Brothers after they've written so much.
Sherman Brothers are the ones
so
who made like the Mary Poppins songs. Yeah. And a lot of Disney songs.
You know, a lot of really good classic Disney songs. Yeah. And then they've written a lot of crap.
Yep. And they didn't write this song.
No, they didn't. But dang, boy, if they ever.
They could. Yeah, look up the song on YouTube. It's worth it. We'll tweet it.
It's great.
I'll tweet the link.
All right, so Blockbuster, Lackluster.
I think it's a blockbuster. It does have a large explosion.
I would watch it. I would watch it. Yeah. I would say we'll see it one time. If you like goofy John Wayne movies, like this is one I wish we would have watched in John Wayne month. Yeah, had it not been a tribute to my grandfather and historical memory.
This would have sort of counteracted a lot of those much more serious.
This definitely gave us a little bit lighthearted, more lighthearted John Wayne. Yeah. Lighthearted and extremely racist and sexist for that matter. But yeah, so that is the War Wagon and that is our show. So Ryan, we have one more week.
We do.
Ryan.
My wife has been agonizing.
So
on her choice.
I allowed, I didn't allow. We both said there's only one person. By the way, speaking of her, did she watch this movie with
no,
you?
No, she didn't.
No, you didn't. No. She Ryan watched this alone.
I watched this on an airplane.
On his lonesome.
I was actually sitting next to an Asian couple. And I just turned it towards the window.
No way.
I'm like, no. Yes. I'm like, don't look over here right now.
No. So your wife, though.
Yeah.
Wants to give us our last gift, our final gift of this month.
She did. She does. She is a student of 80s action movies.
Ah.
And when we got married, actually, I insisted that we watch all of the Lord of the Rings movies, which she hadn't seen. And she insisted that we watch all of the Rockies, all of the Rambos, and all of the, what's the Schwarzenegger one?
Which one?
No.
Commando?
No, not Command.
Predator?
I don't know. We just watched like 80s action movies for months.
Okay.
Because I hadn't seen any of them. And Total she's
Recall?
Like, how did you, no, because I'd seen the science fiction ones. She's like, how did you grow up and not see these? And the answer was.
I think
you're
thinking of Commando. I'm pretty sure you're thinking of Commando.
No, does it have sequels?
No. There's only one Schwarzenegger franchise I know of that has sequels, and it's the one we're about to.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
we did watch, but like she did understand. I was like, I didn't have older brothers, and she did. She's the youngest in her family and the oldest in my family. So she's been agonizing. She keeps asking me, "Oh, have you guys watched this?" And like, it got to the point she was exasperated. She's like, "How have you not watched any of these movies?" and so I was just like, you know,
it's a little. I mean, sometimes we. Here's the thing.
It's a little on the nose.
Sometimes a little on the nose, but sometimes a little on the nose is what you need, especially after this month.
so she has gone to the roots, gone to the classic. A movie considered one of the best action movies ever made. One that launched several careers. Terminator.
Oh, the Terminator. I'm kind of with her. I can't believe we haven't watched the Terminator yet.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable.
Oh boy, and I just. realized something about the Terminator. I'm going to bring it up next time.
Oh, boy.
We'll bring it up next time. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the War Wagon. Join us for our final week of White Elephant Month when we watch The Terminator. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
Yeehaw!
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.